All right. Okay, let's go into the Word of God. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, 8 to 13. You know, my wife is doing this Luke challenge, and we are helping her to challenge Luke. Amen. Luke is a very good book because Luke looked at the life of Jesus from a very interesting point of view that was different from the other people, the other gospelers. And really, all the gospelers looked at the life of Jesus differently. Luke was trying to look at Jesus as the Son of God, you know, as the Son of Man, the humanity side of Jesus. And there is something that Luke did in all his book, and I say all as if it's more than two, but it's actually two. Luke was the one that wrote Luke and Acts. You know, if you start reading from Acts chapter 1, he was telling Theophilus that I have written one treatise to you before, and this is another treatise. And in the two treatises, Luke was looking at Jesus as the Son of Man, but more importantly, he was looking at the journey of Jesus. And even in Acts, he was also looking at the journey, but now the journey of Paul. So Luke is a journey man. So this morning, I want to talk about, from Luke, the journey to praise. The journey to praise. And there's no better guy to tell us about journey than Luke, the journey walker. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 8 to 13. Luke 1, 8 to 13. The Bible says, "So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his Lord fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" That scripture is simply saying it will end in praise. Can I speak to somebody? Do not be afraid. It will end in praise. Can I speak to another person? Do not be afraid. It will end in praise. Do not be afraid. Your prayers have been answered. It will end in praise. One of the things you will soon find out about life is that life is a journey. Our dear pastor here knows better. Marriage is a journey, but it's not just marriage that is a journey. Pretty much everything about life is a journey. Life is a transition. It's a movement from one place to another. There is a repositioning. The first time God saw or met with Abraham, God told Abraham, "Get out of your country, get out of your kindred, go to a land that I will show you." And what God was telling Abraham is, "I want to take you on a journey. I want you to come with me on an adventure. I want you to follow me on something." And let me tell you the truth. Our walk with God is a journey. It's a followership into something. God is taking us on a trip. God is taking us on an adventure. There is ups and down on the road. The journey is an adventure. And sometimes the humanity in us does not like the adventure or the journey, because there's all kinds of things on that road to that place called there. So God is always taking us on a journey. And there are very few things you can know about the journeys of life. Number one, everyone's journey is unique to them. Everyone's journey is unique to them. Maybe number two, we are not going to the same place. We are not going to the same place. Even twins, they are not going to the same place. Jacob and Esau, they were twins. But even them, God had decided that they were two nations. Why did God not say, well, there will be one nation and there will be brothers and tribes in that nation? God said, no, I'm going to make one nation out of Esau. I'm going to make another nation out of Jacob. So only Jacob became Israel. This wasn't Jacob and Esau. Why did God not say, because, you know, we shared the womb together and maybe we shared some part of our birthday together. I will make your destiny the same thing. I will make your journey the same thing. But our journeys are different. Our journeys are different. And that's one of the things that should give you comfort. If I arrive at my destination now, it should not put you under pressure, because we are going our journeys are different. We may look alike. We may have shared destiny. We may have things that are similar, but at the end of the day, we have individualized journey. Every time God calls a man, every time you journey with God, there is a particularity to your journey. There is something about you and God that is between you and God. There is something about you and God that is not universal. There is something about you and God that is unique, and that is something to excite you, not something to put you under pressure. So if I get to my own before you, don't let it put you under pressure. You remember the last time I spoke, we were speaking from this same Luke chapter 1, and we saw two different women, and they had two different journeys. One was old, one was younger. One had a husband, and they were praying for a child. One was not even praying for a child, because she had not even married. And the two of them seemingly fell into something similar. There was a baby coming. But how did they get there? They got to that journey, and their journey was in different dimensions. One, the two children, even though they were going to be killed, both of them, but they were going to be killed differently and in different circumstances. One will die, so to say, angry. The other will willingly die. And instead of anger, he will even be forgiving people as he was dying. So one of the things you and I need to understand is that we are journeying in life, and this journey of life is taking us somewhere. So when you see this story of Jesus, you will see all kinds of journey, especially in the book of Luke, because Jesus actually also came on a journey. You know, we sing that song. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. And he came to show the way, and he was on a journey. It was almost as if he came from heaven, bringing heaven with him so that he can bring heaven to man. All right? Many people think that what Jesus came to do was that he came from heaven so that he will show us heaven and take man to heaven. Eventually, temporarily, we will go to heaven, but eventually, we are still coming here on earth. So really, what Jesus did was, he brought heaven to earth. He always wanted heaven to come to earth. That's why the Bible, speaking in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he wants to bring heaven to earth. So the story of Christmas is a story of a journey. But that journey ended in praise. I can still say, on the confidence of the word of God, your journey, I don't know where you are on that journey, it will end in praise. Your immigration journey will end in praise. Your marital journey will end in praise. Your academic journey will end in praise. If you are saying amen, make it louder. The name Zacharias means God remembered. You know, sometimes people have a name and you almost want to ask them, is your name working for you? Just like sometimes people's life will not look like what their prophecies look like. The devil knows how to attack people at the place of their prophecy. It is the people that have the prophecy or the promise, like Pastor Philip was telling us last week, that he tries to mess up sometimes. You understand? So you need to understand that the prophecy, the promise, is bigger than the problem. If he has given you a prophecy, you have a name like God remembers, as in the case of Zechariah, God will not forget you. Can I remind somebody, God will not forget. God will show up for you. He may be late, but he will show up. Delay is not denial. God will show up for you. Now, there are a few things I want to show us from the life of Zechariah, you know, on this journey that God took him through. And because these things that are in the life of Zechariah, they are some of the things that some of us, we find ourselves in. And it can help us in our own journey. It can help us in our own journey. So we'll see that in that book of Luke, chapter 1, when we were introduced to Zechariah in that verse 8 of Luke chapter 1. You can pull it up again, media team. Luke chapter 1 verse 8. When we met Zacharias, the Bible told us the location where we met him and the activity that he was doing. So it was while he was what? Serving as a priest before God. This was a man that has a promise to be remembered but had been forgotten. This was a man who had been praying for a child and had been praying for other people because he was a priest and he represented God to the people and the people to God. He would have been praying for other people, and knowing God, God will have answered his prayers for other people. And sometimes, is that not how life sometimes presents itself? Some of the things that we are suffering, the things that we want, are sometimes the things that we are able to make happen for other people. Sometimes we are able to make it happen faster for them than we are able to make happen for us. Is that not what happened to Joseph? Would you have thought that Joseph would be interpreting dreams for people and they will have the fulfillment of their dream before his own dreams? You would have thought that the person that has the gift will first eat out of it. Is that not the logical thing? You would think that if I have this grace to decree these kind of things, it will work for me first. But sometimes in the economy of God, because God is taking you on a journey, because God wants you to learn some things, because God wants you to develop and grow, he will make you go through some things, because in that journey, there is growth. One of the things you need to appreciate about the journeys of life, or the journey to praise, the journey to things that God has promised, is that if you allow the full course, if you allow the intentions of God to happen, you will grow. You will grow. You will become a better version. You will become a version that by the time you see the blessing, you'll be able to handle the blessing. You'll be able to handle the blessing. So in the story of Zacharias, what are the things that we can learn from the story of Zacharias, you know, in this Christmas season? Because you see, the story of Zechariah is also part of the Christmas story. The first thing I see here is this. Serving God is still necessary when it doesn't make sense. Serving God is still okay. It's still good when it doesn't make sense. Friends, can I tell you, it will not always make sense. It will not always make human sense. It will not always be convenient. It will not always be delightsome. You will not always want to do what God said. You will not always want to align with God. It may look like you are wasting away when you are waiting. You know, sometimes when we say we are waiting upon the Lord, do you know that waiting upon the Lord, if nobody knows the timing of God and the calendar of God, they can think you are wasting? How can somebody's name be God remembers? God remembers. And the guy every now and then is going to the God that remembers, and the God that remembers has forgotten him. And he has not stopped going there. You know, some people, in 2023, what they will do is this. We will revise this whole God thing. It's not working. It's not working. This thing is a scam. Have you not seen people? Go on YouTube, go on all the social media, and type ex-church person. Some people say, I quit church. I quit God. And why did they quit God? He didn't come when they thought he would come. He didn't answer when they thought he would answer. They called him in a particular situation and he didn't show up. Sometimes people say, well, if God is so good, what about this evil? If God is so good, why am I going through this pain? Let me tell you the truth. There are more answers to the subject of pain than you know. There are more things that God has working for you or working on you than what you may be able to know now. There are more things. So I cannot judge the activity of God by today. That's what the story of Zechariah shows us. Zechariah's story showed us that even when God is silent, God is not idle. Even when God did not show up, God has not forgotten. The name God remembers was really working for him because God didn't forget him. God had the program. He was not privy to the program of God. And do you know, it's the wisdom of God sometimes for God not to tell us the full story. Some of us have an inkling of what God wants to do with our life. But there are some of the things that we have seen. He came as a surprise to us too. With all the stuff. You know, there are some things that I have seen in my own life. And I grew up in pastor's house. I grew up with very spiritual people. And some of, in fact, it's now that I found that, recently I found that some of them knew some things and they never told me. I recently found that, some of you have heard me say the story of my grandmother that I grew up with. There were things she knew. She never told me. She never said anything. She would just, I would say, pray for me. She would pray for me. I would show up. She would just be, I just thought we were just very good friends. We were very close. I just thought that was it. I never knew that there were some prophecies that she probably was telling God, God, remember, God, remember. When she was alive, most of it seemed like God didn't remember. But some of them, God has seemingly started remembering. Sometimes God doesn't tell you, show you the whole picture. Do you know why? It's wisdom. Some of the whole picture can destroy you, can disturb you. Look at the life of Joseph a little bit. You know, some people can argue, well, if Joseph didn't tell his vision, when he told his vision, how will he now do? How will he now become the prince of Egypt? And God has many ways. Hello? God has many ways. God could have, what could have happened is that all his brothers with Joseph, when they were having famine, they could have come to Egypt. And then when they came to Egypt, they will now carry them to Pharaoh's house. And when they get to Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh say, who are you people? They will now say, we are the brothers of one man. He will say, brothers of one man, are you not a spy? No, we are not a spy. In fact, God showed me that you had a dream 2 years ago. And if you don't do this, is about the dream. There will be, everybody will die in this place. And then he will become prime minister instead of going home. You remember that he kept Benjamin? Yeah, we just have kept him. You know? So God has many ways. So the knowledge that he knew sometimes affected him. And there are many people like that. Some little things that God will just show them, he puts them under pressure. So sometimes in the wisdom of God, he will show you a little here. He will show you a little there. So the fact that you don't see, the fact that you don't hear, the fact that everything feels silent does not mean God is absent. Look at your neighbor. Say, God is present even when it seems he's absent. How can God be present and all this is happening? He can be present. He can be present. You know, there's this thing that we used to have in the house back in the day, you know, that God is the something listener at every conversation. Silent listener. Even though me, I don't like God to be silent listener in my conversation. Be loud, sir. Be loud. Just interrupt us, because sometimes we can just be on our own tangent. But sometimes that statement can be true. He's listening. He's hearing. He's watching. He's not leaving you alone. He will show up for you. He will make a way where there seems no way. You need to understand that in life, some people, things will happen for them quickly. There are some people, they will have their baby the first year they married. In fact, if you calculate it, Jesus is Lord. It was a one touch. Amen to Jesus. And some people, there will be all kind of touch. Even we will pour oil. And sometimes some people think all those things, it's not working. It's like God is not, it's like some, these things is trick. No, it's not. It's not. There is something about God. And go check scripture. Everybody that held on to him, they were not put to shame. Everybody that held on to him, no matter how long, they were not put to shame. It will show up for them. It will show up for them. So you need to understand that sometimes others will experience a delay. But the question I need to ask you, what if it delays? Will you deny him? What if God doesn't show up the way you want him to show up? What if your timeline, the date you have set, you know, we are very good at this. See, by this time, tomorrow, I mean, and there's a prophetic dimension to life, right? But what if it doesn't happen tomorrow? What if it doesn't happen in your calendar? Will he still be God? What if it does not happen your own way? Will he still be God? Ladies and gentlemen, his thoughts are better than your thoughts. His plans are better than your plans. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans that I think towards you. I have thoughts. I have plans. I want to give you a future and a hope. So sometimes it will look like I'm slow, but I'm not slow. My slackness is faster than your speed. My time is the best time. You see, God's time is the best time. Our times should be in his hand. So most people believe, you know, that God should show up at a particular time. But you see, if God is God, God also has to direct his timing. We can pray, we can align with God, we can partner with God, but at the end of the day, if God is God, by definition of God, then the definition of God puts sovereignty on God. There has to be a part of God that is beyond you and I. And some of that time, that part is in his timing. He won't show up where you think you should show up. And so, Zechariah, God did not show up. Second year of marriage, probably 10 years of marriage, 20, 30 years. I was watching a production, you know, of the Christmas story. And then there was a scene that they showed where Elizabeth told the people that she's pregnant. And somebody looked at her and said, "Pray what?" Is that, you don't say pregnant like that. You don't speak pregnancy like that. Yeah, I mean, look at your age. How did you get pregnant? And, you know, they were questioning it. When the miracle looked probable, God didn't show up there. It was as if God did like what he did in the case of Lazarus. When Lazarus was sick, it was easier to heal somebody that was sick than to raise somebody that was dead. But God decided that I want to raise the dead rather than heal the sick. Do you have a problem with that? As long as you have your Lazarus. So God sometimes come late because he wants to give you the latest. Look at your neighbor. Say you are getting the latest. Say you are getting the updated. So God comes when he wants to come. And is just and justified even when he delays. You can't fault him. If you don't see in his hand, or when you don't see his hand, here's something I want you to believe in. Trust his heart. When you cannot see his hand, trust his heart. It's for you. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3, the Bible says, it says, though it tarries, wait for it. Why are you waiting for it? The integrity of the person that spoke. Pastor Philip told us last week, some of you that were here, he said the faithfulness of God is the backing that the promise of God will happen. It's not anything in the natural. It's just that God is faithful. He will defend himself. God defends. The reason why God shows up is to protect and defend his own integrity. So if it is tarrying, wait for it. If it is the word of God, if it is the promise of God, you can have it. Don't be like the five foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 5 to 7. The Bible says, and when the bridegroom tarried, and when the bridegroom lingered, the Bible said they fell to sleep. One of the things that happens with delay is that people become tired. One of the things that happen with delay is that our hope seems to win out. It feels like when the devil knows that this person knows that God will do something, sometimes he even wants to also manipulate things and delay things and show up. And so what he's trying to achieve with some of those things is so that your confidence and your hope will be messed up. The Bible says when the bridegroom delay, they all slumbered and slept. So because of the delay, some people are already sleeping. And I'm praying that because of this message today, there is a wakening up that will happen for you in the name of Jesus. So, Zechariah was serving God when it didn't make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, it is okay to still serve God when it doesn't make sense. It's okay to still show up in church. Oh, is it every time some of us show up in church that everything we wanted has been given us? No. Is it every time we serve the Lord that what we have waited for has come? No. Is it every time we give to God where that it feels like we have received back from him? No. In fact, I have said this before because I've heard people say it, that givers never lack, and it is true. But there's a caveat. Givers can lack in some conditions and some criteria. Why can they lack? Givers can lack when they stop. Yes. When they stop, it's like a farmer. You can say, a farmer will not lack harvest. Yes, he can lack harvest. If he does not continue sowing, because there are some seed that he will sow, their harvest may not come at the same time. So a farmer is a strategic, systematic, chronic, continuous sower. That's it. In Galatians chapter 6, that's reading from verse 7 downwards, especially if you get to verse 9. The Bible says, if you don't faint, you will reap. It didn't say you will reap because you sow. Most people say, if you sow, you will reap. What you sow is true. But the other part of it is that it's not every time you sow that you will reap immediately. It's when you learn to sow consistently, continually. When it looks like it, when it does not look like it. Like Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes 11, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening sow thy seed. Just cast your bread upon many waters and you will find them after many days. So it is those people who don't quit, who don't give up, that will reap. What are the lessons we learn from Zacharias? We learn that serving God is a necessity, even when it does not make sense. So I'm going into 2024. I'm not going to revise my commitment to God. God is not going to be, because usually when people revise their life, it is God they'll first take out. I thank God for that, my sister that said that. There was a time I put God on one side, and then later I went back to him. Let me tell you the truth. God should not be the one you should revise your relationship with. It's not the one you should cut time from. It's not the one you should reduce. Reduce every other thing. Reduce your watching TV time. You reduce many other things. But with God, try and even increase it. Because God is the one that will make everything make sense. All right? So when it comes to the life of Zacharias, one of the beautiful lessons we learn from his life is that it is okay to serve God when it doesn't make sense. What do we learn from the life of Zacharias? Eventually, service to God pays. Service to God pays. I learned a song when I was a young Christian, and I will sing this song often. Very, very good song. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. He'll always be with you if you do your part. There's nothing in this wide world can pleasure afford. I'll be a good soldier. I'll die at my post. I love him more better than in days of yore. I'll serve him more better. I'll do what it pleases me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier. I'll die at my post. But ladies and gentlemen, it pays to serve Jesus. I can tell you, it pays to serve. I come from a long line of people that serve Jesus. Jesus is not a scam. It pays to serve Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the only one you will serve that will pay you and pay people that come out of you. Jesus. You can serve Jesus for your children. That's what my grandmother told me. My grandmother told me that I know what I'm doing. My serving Jesus, I am serving him and I'm preparing for your future. I thought in my head that if you are preparing for the children of future of children, which includes that anyways, is to put money aside, do this, and we should do that. But she was not doing that. She was instead spending the money that was in my own coffer because I was keeping the money for her. I was a banker then. And then she will wait for me to come. And as soon as I come from school those days, she will now tell me, write a check to that person. This person wants this. And I will go and meet her and say, these people are just, and I'll be agitating. And she'll say, I know what I'm doing. She will now say, I'm doing it for you. In my head, I'm like, how can you be doing it for me? If you have money and you give people, how are you doing it for me? You are spending it. No, she was serving Jesus with that resource. And because she served Jesus, there are things that me, as a human being, I have enjoyed. I know it's not me. I know. I have entered into some things that completely has nothing to do with me. I pray, some people know that I pray small, yeah. But it's not my prayer. I give in my own little way. But it's not my giving. It is what somebody has done. Why? Because he pays to serve Jesus. And the payment is beyond you. He says when you serve him, he will bless your bread. He will bless your water. He will keep diseases away from you. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. He pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. In Job chapter 36 verse 11, the Bible says, if they obey him and serve him, it says they will spend their days in pleasure and their years in plenty. There is something about service to Jesus. I want you to consider where your service to Jesus is. It pays to serve him. I'm not saying serve a church. I'm not even saying serve a man of God. Serve Jesus. You can be serving and doing activity in church and not be serving Jesus, because there are people that are very active in church, but they are not serving Jesus because the focus is not Jesus, it's man. The the focus is not Jesus. But if the focus is Jesus, if your service is Jesus, if your worship is Jesus, if your offering is to Jesus, if your singing is to Jesus, if that thing you are doing is for Jesus' sake, I'm telling you, it pays. It may look like it is not paying today, but I can tell you from history, the people that started serving Jesus in my own family, they are dead. Many years dead, though. And is still paying today. Some of them, what they did for Jesus, some of us are still eating out of it today. People like my grandfather. My grandfather died in 1980. The popular grandfather that some of you know. But today, if things are a little tight, I'll just say, by the way, it's my grandfather. I'll just say it. And believe me, just like it just turns things around. I have entered. There was one day I went to a meeting. I went to a conference many years ago, before the days of Victory House. Very big conference, and this person spoke. We now went to go and greet people that were speakers after the whole conference. So I was there. One of my friends now said, told the speaker, the person that spoke in that conference, that, do you know this guy? Am I like, this guy is a joker. Me, why will you know me? No name, no fixed address. How can you know me? He now gave him my small bio. I said, his grandfather. You know what the speaker did? This is in America. It's not Lagos. It's Nigeria that they do human worship. No, it's here. And the person is not a Nigerian. It's an American. The lady took off her shoes and knelt down and said, no, I'm not the one to pray for you. You are the one to pray for me. You mean your grandfather? He said, please pray for me. I said, So you can imagine what serving Jesus did to those people that some of us are still enjoying. Can I tell you something? The legacy you can leave for your children is to serve Jesus. Don't do every other thing for your children and not make them see you serve Jesus. If there is anything you can give your children, you may not be able to give them money, but give them service to Jesus. You may not be able to do all the things and go to all the experience if you can't do it, but in addition or more importantly, serve Jesus, because it pays to serve Jesus. The service of Jesus will pay many generations even after you. Are we not still talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? How many years ago did these people serve God? How many years ago? There's this city of David. We still talk about city of David. We still talk about David today. Not only in the parlance of church, even outside of church, in the geographical side of Israel, David is still an item. Why? There was a time this guy served God. Bible speaking in Acts chapter 13, I believe verse 36, it says, and David served God in his own generation. Look at your neighbor, say, it pays to serve Jesus. Say it louder. Say, it pays to serve Jesus. So in the story of Zechariah, we see that serving God is still a necessity when it doesn't make sense. Serving God pays. It pays dividends. It pays better than any shares or stock. The time you give God, God will give it back to you. I'm telling you, I can tell you that for free. I've given God a lot of my time in life. Many, many nights, many mornings praying, and God has given me back. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. Why? It pays to serve Jesus. Another thing I need to show you in the life of Zechariah is this, which is the more obvious one because we saw what he did, is that we don't need to doubt in the dark what we are told in the light. Do not doubt in the dark what you are told in the light. There will be the temptation to doubt what you have been told in the light, what God told you. It will end in praise. You are excited about it in church, but when you step outside, it will not look like praise again. Can you imagine our brother that had that experience this morning? You know some people, it will be crying, they will start doing that. They will not see the praise out of it because they will be like, Sunday morning, our cabinet, pastor, picture, cabinet, down. And we are going to supersize with them, right? If he didn't come and say it here, because me, I've come into this service, you know, before now, and I've texted him, hey, why is this not working? Why is that not working? And he didn't say, excuse me, sir. By the way, cabinet fell down this morning, and we are recovering from cabinet fall down, you know? He didn't do that. Why? He doesn't want to doubt in the dark what God said in life. Let me tell you the truth. Whatever God tells you, there'll be a challenge to it. But don't doubt him. Don't doubt him. What was almost going to rob Zechariah of the miracle was that he was almost going to think that what God said, he was not going to do it. You know, God told him, when the angel showed up, he said, your prayers have been answered. Then he now started questioning and arguing. And that's how some of us do. When you start hearing things like, oh, it will end in praise, then you now start doing analysis. But they said, the lawyer said, if you know that God can't do it, then why are we asking him? You already asked him. Now, why are you arguing? You leave the how. You leave the way. You leave the thing he will do. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Don't let fear creep in. Believe him. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. The Bible says, God is not a man that he will lie. If he has said it, he's going to do it. The Bible also speaking in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. None of his good promises will fail. Can I speak over somebody? Every hanging promise, every hanging prophecy, you will receive it as your performance in the name of Jesus. There will be no prophecy failure. There will be no promise failure. If you believe it, say, believe in amen. God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:12. He said, I'm watching over my word. God watches over his word. God takes minutes of what he's saying. God is not a man. You know, sometimes we as human beings, we'll just promise and we'll forget. We'll just talk, big mouth. We'll forget what he has said. Whenever God says something, he himself will now be watching over those words to make sure it comes back. Oh, by the way, last year, 10 years ago, I told evidence I would do this. I'm watching over it. Everything he told you, he is watching over it. If you don't give up, if you don't run away, if you continue on the journey, if you stay on the journey with him, he's going to end in praise because he's watching over it. He's the one saying, I'm going to fulfill this thing. I'm going to stand by it. It's as if I wrote a will and I will now be the lawyer to enforce the will. I will stand and make sure that anybody contesting the provisions of that will in your life, I will say, no, you can't do that. I have promised that, and I did this by an oath. I promised by an oath. It's like a sworn affidavit. I can't go back on this. This is already a done deal. And so you need to understand that God will do what he has said. You don't have to doubt in the dark. Now let me give you some pointers or something that I believe really will enhance. And since this is the season that we are in, in fresh revelation of this comes to us, is going to enhance our service to God, our standing with God. Because you see, when you are able to serve God in spite of things, in spite of happenings, there is something you are looking at. There is a focus. There is somewhere you are putting your emphasis on other than what he's doing. And it is his person. And that person, really the sum total of that person is love. So how do I serve God acceptably in this season of Christmas is to also go back, like our pastor was leading us and speaking to us when he was taking his time on this pulpit and talking about love. You see, we will serve him acceptably in this season when there's a fresh revelation of love. What would this fresh revelation of love look like, or how can you maximize this fresh revelation of love? Number one, you have to receive his love. How will I serve him when it doesn't make sense? How will I know and believe this, it will pay to serve Jesus, or serving God will pay? How will I not doubt in the dark what he has said in the light? I will receive his love. You see, and receiving the love of God is not a once and for all item. It's a daily thing. You have to receive it every day. Just like couples tell themselves, I love you every day. God is saying, I love you. Every day, you have to just receive it. Pastor read for us John chapter 3, verse 16, or quoted for us John 3:16. Very popular. For God so loved the world, right? That he gave. But the problem of the world is not the giving side, it's the receiving side. Because whosoever believeth, whosoever receiveth, the love has been shed abroad, the Lord has been released. But have you received it? Have you received the package of love? Have you internalized the love? Have you convinced yourself afresh that God loves you? Have you not allowed the situation to define to you that maybe God doesn't love you? Do you know that's what the devil always tries to tell people? Oh, all this trouble. How can God really love you and all this is happening to you? Can you see your life?
Look at people that you met in this country. You had the testimony. The lady said, we don't struggle. Why are you struggling? Are you not under the same covering? If you're under the same covering, you are now struggling. Struggle is now middle name for you. Why are you like that? God does not love you. You have committed the unpardonable sin. But let me tell you this morning, God sent me to you. There's somebody in this house this morning, you need to hear this. I love you. I love you. This God is you. He didn't tell me your name, but he told me you are there. And he wants you to know, I love you. I love you. The Bible speaking in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. You have to believe to receive it. You do it every day. Oh, my husband did not speak well to me. Maybe I don't know if he loves me or not. That's not God. God still loves me. Oh, my boss was nasty. People don't like me. It's like I have a label of rejection on my head. To human beings, that may be true. But to God, no, sir. He loves you. So you have to allow 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to happen. He says, and we have known. You need to know. And I'm telling you this morning so that you will know. And every now and then, you go back into the word of God so that you know that he loves you. And then not just know, believe it. Believe it. Take it as your own. Many people believe that God loves the world. The challenge for many people is that they don't believe he loves them. They don't have a problem to say, for God so loved the world. But do you know the truth is, for God so loved Emmanuel? Oh yes, we can write that scripture and say, for God so loved Emmanuel. Oh, will I not be making you feel selfish? But really, God was not looking at the world as a number. He was looking at individuals, people, singular item people. Because when Jesus was speaking in John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. And what would the good shepherd do? He will leave the 99 for the one. So it is more about the individuality. It is not the world. It's not the size. God, Jesus will have died. Even if it was one person, was he not on the cross that he was hanging on that cross? And the Bible said there was a thief on that cross. One thief had enough sense to say, Lord, can I be with you in paradise? I want to receive the love that you have. And Jesus did not say, you, will you get away? I'm trying to save the whole world. No, Jesus said, that's true. You can join me today. You can join me in paradise. My death is for all, but ladies and gentlemen, it's for one. And so this morning, God is telling somebody, I love you. I love you. I love you. Whether you receive Christmas gift from human beings or not, take this one now. God loves you. Can somebody say amen? Because some people say, nobody even gave me gift in all that church. Let me tell you, take this gift now and open it. It's from Jesus to you. And what does he say? I love you. It's a big hug. It's a big, large, very, very warm hug, saying, I love you and I got you. I will take care of you. I will stand by you. I will watch over you. So in this season, we need to receive his love. We need to receive his love. And what that would culminate in is that it will allow us to serve him acceptably. What do you need to do in this season? Somebody get on the keyboard, please. What do you need to do in this season when it comes to God and serving him? We have to receive his love. But we don't have to stop at receiving the love. Because you see, if you only take in and don't give out, you have constipation. There needs to be law of give and take. As you are receiving the love, you have to also give that love. You have to show that love. So in this season, how do you serve God acceptably in this season? Receive his love, then show his love. Show his love. There is somebody that a long text, a long message may not explain anything to. But when you show him love, love has a language. Love has a dialect. Love speaks. People hear love when they can't hear anything else. Oh, they always say I have an accent. Let me tell you the truth. If you show love, your love doesn't have an accent. The accent it has, they can understand it. Amen. So show love. Show love. Show love at home. Show love to people that know you. The people that are closer to you. You know, that's one of the challenges human beings we have. The closer people are to us, the more for granted we take them, right? Because you find out that people are nicer to people they don't know. If you get on the bus, somebody will really like step on your leg and just say, that's okay, it's all right. and the shadow of your husband just passed your leg. You say, what now? Can't you see? Can't you see? But it's just my shadow. I say, no. That shadow is doing something. I don't like your shadow coming. Sometimes when I see my children, and I'm sure you were like that with your siblings, especially some of you that have elder sister, younger, you were like that. And I said, why are you always fighting? And when they don't now see themselves, they will now be looking for themselves. Eh? I said, why are you always? Just tolerate yourself. Just calm down. You know, there's all that sibling rivalry. But it always happens with many of us. In this season of Christmas, give gifts, but show love. You don't need to give gifts to show love. Kindness is love. Hello, how are you? It's love. Do you know it's also love to pray for people? Let me challenge you. Let me ask you a question. Are there people you pray for that don't know that you are praying for them? People that you mentioned their names in prayer, they can never know, and you will never tell them. If you don't have those kind of people, you are not really living the life. You are not. You are not. That's how to show love. Love is not about, I give you one big Christmas tree. That one will perish. What about you get on your knees and you mention in prayer? I'm a product of some people that have mentioned our names in prayer, because sometimes you will see some things. This is an answer to prayer, but it's not my own prayer. Somebody prayed this prayer. Are you doing that for somebody? That's one way to show love. So in this season, if you want your service to be acceptable, ladies and gentlemen, you receive the love of God. You show the love of God. And more importantly, you share the love of God. You speak it, you communicate it. You know, don't show it as a showcase. You share it. You make sure it's tangible enough for somebody to take it. You communicate with others in words and in deeds the love of God. The Bible speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18. You can pull that up as we round up this morning. The journey to praise. The journey to praise is a journey of service. We keep serving God even when it doesn't look like it. But what powers our service is the love that we receive from God, is the love that we show to others, and is the love that we share to others. The Bible speaking here, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Is there any ministry that all Christians have? Yes, the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? You bring people back. You bring people back to Jesus. You bring people back to unity. If you are in a department, you are in a team where there is chaos, don't be the sponsor of evil. Don't be the sponsor and the harbinger of bad things. Oh, did you see my brother? Did you see my sister? She did it. She did. When you were not there, this is what she said. And that thing that he said when you were there, this is what he means. That's not sharing the love. You can be in the ministry of reconciliation. That is how you can really, really position yourself in this season that we have found ourselves to serve God. That's how your own Christmas story will look like, at least in a small sense, like the story of Zacharias. And let me tell you the truth. The way it ended for Zacharias, when we position in this ministry that some part of it that Zacharias was enabled to do, it will end the praise. It will be a journey to praise. Can you stand up this morning? Because somebody is ending in praise. I want you to receive the love of God this morning. You are here in this service this morning. You don't know Jesus. You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. He's not your Savior. You are not born again. I want you to just receive him now. He is just right there. The guy on the thief on the cross, he was just a breath prayer, very short. Can I be with you in paradise? And that was all it took. So it's not a long prayer. Wherever you are right there, just put your hand on your chest, say, Jesus, I want you into my life. And somebody maybe say, well, I have received Jesus in my life, but somehow my love walk with Jesus has not been at the place it should be. This morning, say, I receive fresh love into me. I receive your love afresh in the name of Jesus. And some other person may be saying, God, I receive grace to show and share your love in the name of Jesus. You are not praying. Everybody has something to pray about. Somebody wants to receive the love. Somebody wants to receive grace to show and share. Yes, we receive it this morning. Yes, you are the giver of. You are the one whose name is love. And this morning, we receive your love. We receive your love to be able to show and to share it in the name of the Lord, to the glory of your name. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen. Before we go this morning, can we pray for these people that their birthday is today? If your birthday is on Sunday, I think we should pray for you on Sunday. Amen. We should not wait for so many days after. So, Tolu, please come. Is she the only one? I think there's two people, right? Fire. Is it Fire? Fire. Fire? Fire. Okay. Fire. I didn't even know that. It may be that it's also fire. Who is Fire, by the way? The one that turned two. Oh, they should bring her. They should bring her. You know, let's just sing that song because it has ended in praise. He has done us well. He has done us well. He has done us well, Jesus. He has done us well.
He has done us well. He has done us well, Jesus. You have done us well.
He has done us
and
well.
You have done
he
us well. So we say thank you, Lord, 'cause you have done us well, Jesus.